Welcome to the Space Show, Philip.
Thank you.
You're working on a rather interesting satellite project with Japan.
That's right, yes. It's called VSOP, the VLBI Space Observatory Program.
You better say that again, slowly.
VSOP, which obviously has connections to brandy, which some of my colleagues do enjoy, but in this case stands for VLBI Space Observatory Program. It's an acronym within an acronym. VLBI stands for Very Long Baseline Interferometry, a kind of radio astronomy where we separate the telescopes by as far as possible in order to get very high angular resolution images of radio sources.
So you're using two radio telescopes?
At least two, the more the merrier. And what's interesting about this project is, as the space aspect indicates, we'll be launching a satellite, and it'll be the first radio telescope launched into space for dedicated VLBI on Earth-to-space baselines. Obviously, doing VLBI on the ground, the furthest you can get two telescopes apart is the diameter of the Earth. But radio astronomers want to probe the radio sources in more detail, and the only way to do that at a given wavelength is to extend the baseline by putting one of the radio telescopes in orbit.
I noticed that over the years, the radio telescopes have gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, and then, of course, they suddenly stopped building bigger radio telescopes.
Yes.
And you started to see two or three, or as the case at Narrabri, we've got six of them in a line.
Right, yes.
Now, is this something to do with the same trend?
Yes. The biggest steerable radio telescope on Earth is the telescope at Bonn, or Effelsberg, which is about 100 metres in diameter. The telescope at Arecibo, built in a natural depression in the Earth's surface, is 305 metres in diameter, but it's being of that size, it can't be steered to point in any direction in the sky. And so it was realised in the 1960s, I guess, that the way to go was to actually build a number of small telescopes and then connect the signals from them at some stage later, and connect them to synthesise a telescope as large as the separation apart.
So, just explain to us again, why is it that we need to go to bigger and bigger telescopes, and well, in this case, you know, to ones that are even bigger than the whole Earth?
Right. The reason is to be able to study radio sources in more detail. A lot of the there's a wide range of astronomy is done, but one of the field that I'm most closely associated with is studying quasars, which are the most distant radio sources in the galaxy. They're quite large, but they're so far away they appear to be very, very small, only subtend a very small angle. And so in order to study them in any detail at all, we really have to get the most angular resolution we can out of our telescopes. And this way of putting one telescope in space will really help.
So VSOP then will be a radio telescope in space?
Yes. The satellite that we're launching will be an 8-metre radio telescope in space. 8 metres is not particularly large, but when you combine it with some of the big telescopes on the Earth's surface, it will allow images of very high angular resolution to be made.
So who's developing the satellite?
The ISAS, or the Institute of Space and Astronautical Science, is a very interesting place. There's a staff of a bit over 300 there. Half of those are engineers who work on the rocket side of things. The other half are the astronomers who work on the actual satellites and then analyse the data as it comes in. So the ISAS has developed its own rockets, and also develops its own satellites, which are then subcontracted out to be built. So our particular satellite, the VSOP satellite, is being built by some of the big companies in Japan, NEC, Toshiba, Mitsubishi, etc. But will be launched in September next year on the first M5 rocket, which is currently under development at ISAS.
What's your role in the project?
That's a very good question. I don't have an official title. I seem to be sort of a bit of a general dog's body to some degree. At this stage, I joined the project a year ago, and it's been going for the last 6 or 7 years, so things are certainly very well developed. Last year was very exciting because we were doing the first integration testing of the satellite, bringing all the individual components together and making sure that they talked to each other as they were supposed to. So I'm not actually involved with the building of the satellite or the rocket. It's at this stage we're dealing much more with the various interfaces between the various ground-based communities. To do very long baseline interferometry, the more telescopes, the merrier. So when we'll have the one telescope orbiting the Earth, but then we'll try and have as many telescopes involved on the Earth as possible. And so there's big logistical problems in working out how does each telescope know where to point and when to point and at what frequency to point, and how does that data then get back to the central station for correlating and then moved on to the astronomer who proposed this observation, etc. So at the moment, a lot of the work we're doing is on the logistics of the observing will be done.
And once it gets in space, will you have a role there as well?
Well, I hope that some of the observations that I'll be proposing might be successful. So there's that aspect of it, and also the mission will be running a survey program to look at to make very short observations of a large number of sources, to study them as a particular class, not studying the details of any particular one, but looking at the overall properties of these sources as a class. And this survey program will be quite important for the mission, will be led by the mission, and so I'll be playing a role in that as well.
How come an Australian is involved in this Japanese project?
The VLBI is a fairly intensive mode of operating, because you really need people at all the different telescopes. And the Japanese have been doing some very good radio astronomy for quite a long time, but have not really been involved in VLBI, or the very long baseline interferometry, for quite as long. So as they're getting close to launching this satellite, they don't have the numbers in Japan to do this by themselves, and there is, of course, the big international component. So they were keen to have someone who knew a bit about VLBI, a bit about radio astronomy, spoke a bit of English, understood a bit about Japan as well, because I'd lived there before. So they were very keen for me to come over and join them.
And what's it like working at ISAS?
Very interesting, very interesting. ISAS is a very interesting place to work. There's I think they've got four or five satellites still up at the moment. They've got ASCA, which is probably the most famous of them, an X-ray satellite. YOKO is a satellite observing the Sun, and several other interplanetary missions which they're still tracking. So there's a lot of different groups doing different kinds of astronomy. There's a regular stream of visitors from both within Japan and outside Japan coming through and giving seminars. So it's a very exciting place to work.
So you get to meet lots of other people involved in not only your own field, but other fields as well.
Yes, yes, very true, yes.
Are any other Australians involved with ISAS, the Japanese satellite program?
There are none in Japan at the moment, though there are a lot of people at the Australia Telescope National Facility and at universities within Australia, particularly the University of Hobart, who are involved, will be involved with the VSOP program and with observations made in concert with that satellite.
You mentioned in passing that David Jauncey's been involved with the project.
That's right. He's at the moment co-chair of the VISC. VISC is an acronym within an acronym within an acronym. VISC is the VSOP International Science Council. VSOP is the very long, but VLBI Space Observatory Program, and VLBI is Very Long Baseline Interferometry. Getting hold of all these acronyms is part of the job.
Well, Philip, what do you hope to do with this new satellite that can't be done from the ground?
The main thing that can be done is making observations at higher resolution than can be done on the ground. Unlike the Hubble Space Telescope, which is put above the atmosphere in order to escape the turbulent effects of the Earth's atmosphere, the reason for launching a radio telescope into space for VLBI is just to get the longer baselines. So we'll be looking at quasars right at the edges of the universe as we see it today, and just probing them in more detail, looking at the very compact core to see if we can find... It's believed that these are powered by matter falling onto black holes, so we're trying to probe them in as fine a detail as possible to see if we can see any evidence for that.
Yes, when quasars were first discovered, they just looked like distant stars that were producing vast amounts of energy, but I believe now some structures beginning to be found.
Yes, with the improved angular resolution that the very long baseline interferometry has given. It's been realised over the last couple of decades that what seem to be just very point-like optical objects actually have quite a lot of very fine structure. And by looking at these, monitoring these over the years, it's realised that there is a steady compact core, and we see blobs of material being emitted from that core. And so VLBI from the Earth over the last couple of decades has been monitoring the motion of these blobs, and it's clear that these are blobs of plasma, or certainly electrons, moving around magnetic field lines emitting synchrotron radiation. And it's this synchrotron radiation that we're seeing with the radio telescopes. And they're being emitted from this core at very high velocity, velocities approaching that of light. So these are certainly very energetic processes going on in these quasars.
What other projects will you be doing with VSOP?
One of the other projects will be studying masers. Masers are the microwave analogue of lasers. And there are a number of maser sources in our galaxy. There are also masers in other galaxies. And some of these have now been dubbed mega masers because they are producing much more radiation than the masers in our galaxy appear to be doing. And so studies of masers will be intimately involved with studies of star-forming regions and also older stars, which these masers appear to be associated with.
Long baseline interferometry has been used over the years since it was developed to probe into these curious things called pulsars or pulsating stars. Will VSOP be of much use there?
VSOP probably won't afford much improvement over observations that can be done from the ground. Signals from pulsars are scattered in the interstellar medium, and so there won't be quite the same gains using a satellite, but a radio telescope in space, as there will be just on ground-based observations. But VLBI certainly has been very important for, in particular, observing the proper motions of pulsars using ground-based VLBI. And VLBI has indicated, or VLBI observations have shown us, that pulsars actually have very high velocities. They're moving through, moving around in the galaxy at several hundreds to thousands of kilometres per second. And this has really been sort of discovered or proved with Earth-based VLBI observations.
Thanks for joining us tonight on The Space Show, Philip.
It's been a pleasure.